I'm thankful for many things today. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord. I'm thankful that I have a family. I'm thankful that I have a place to worship. I have a place to get in out of the rain. I'm thankful for the rich heritage that we enjoy. I'd like to share some scripture from Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 25, it was the third hour and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. We did not believe when he changed the water into wine. We did not believe when he healed the palsied man, when he healed the blind man, we did not believe. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, we did not believe. When a voice spoke from heaven and said, This is my son in whom I am well pleased, we did not believe. But just let Christ come down from the cross and we will believe. Do you think they really would have believed? I think they may have said, It's because the Romans did not secure the nails properly. That's how Christ was able to come down. Or maybe they would have said, He is a worker of miracles, but He's not the Son of God. Don't let Him deceive you. Yes, he managed to get down from the cross, but I still do not believe. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. They're not going to be persuaded if he comes down from the cross. if he works all the miracles, if he shows all the signs that they asked him to show, they will not believe. If someone rose from the dead and said, "Don't go to hell, whatever you do, it's going to be worth it. Turn around. It's tormenting down there. Let me describe it to you." You know what? People would keep on going on in their same old sins day after day, and they would not believe. The Holy Spirit can deal with people's hearts, can convict them, can stir them with fear. "Lord, I don't want to be lost." But then, through the hardness of heart, they go on in unbelief. Show us a sign. Prove to us. Why is it that some people believe and others require so many signs? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." What was the sign of the prophet Jonas? Jesus said that as Jonas was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. Jonas was cast out of that belly. He was able to come back again. And Christ, likewise, was resurrected. They cannot discern the signs of the times. I want to ask you, which is more important? To be able to look at the sky and see it's red? And to be able to predict the weather? Or to know that the Messiah has come? What do you think is more important? The Messiah coming was the most important historical event in the world. Whether or not it rains tomorrow really isn't that big of a deal. But yet, they were able to discern a certain kind of sign and miss the other altogether. Which is more important to us today? To know who is going to win a football game, or to know that perhaps God is dealing with you for the very last time? Which is more important? There are some signs that the Lord will give us to indicate your time is running out. I'm only going to deal with you so much more, and it's over for you. Which is more important, knowing the stock market, all the ins and outs, the good deals, the way to make your wealth grow? Is that what is important, or is it knowing that the coming of the Lord may be imminent? Lord, help us to believe, to know the important signs when they come our way. No sign will be given to this wicked generation except the sign of Jonas the prophet. The sign that you put me in the grave and in 3 days I will rise again. Was that enough to convince them? Nobody had ever resurrected from the dead like that before. There's something divine there. Would they finally believe when Jesus rose from the dead? Would they believe? Or would they simply say, no, his disciples came and stole him away? Do you believe today? Jesus stood before Herod in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. For what reason? Because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. What a reason to want to see Jesus. Then he questioned him with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him, and Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Show me a sign. I want to see something miraculous from you. But if you don't, I'm going to mock you. No wonder Jesus didn't show him a sign. Someone who really did not believe anyway. Show us a sign, Lord, and then we will believe. What's it going to take for us to believe today? What will it take for us to awaken spiritually? To really believe that sin is awful, that there is an eternal hell, that there is a heaven, that there is a just God, that we will all stand before him. What does it take to really believe that today? How many signs does the Lord need to show? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and shew John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Here are the signs, John. The blind receiving their sight, the deaf hearing, the lepers cleansed, the dead raised again. That's pretty overwhelming evidence, isn't it? And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The Jews kept asking for signs, and the signs were right in front of them. In fact, they made a career out of studying those very signs. And when the Messiah came, they missed him altogether. What were those signs that they missed? Well, the Apostle Paul was converted. And immediately, Paul was on a mission. I like to see people with some enthusiasm in life. Their heart is into something. That's the way Paul was. Conversion, and immediately he's ready to go. Acts chapter 9 and verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Proving it. How did Paul do that? By working miracles? No, he used the same thing they'd been studying. He used the law and the prophets. And he proved through that Jesus was Christ. Jesus had died and was resurrected. And one day he joined two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he asked them what they were talking about and why they were so sad. And they asked him, Are you stranger here? Have you not heard? And they began telling him about Jesus, about his crucifixion, about the things that he had promised them. And they told about how Jesus' body disappeared from the tomb. Let's take a look here in Luke 24 and verse 25. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. He went to the law and the prophets, the very thing that the Jews had, and proved to them the things about Christ, the prophecy of his crucifixion, of his resurrection. All the signs that were needed were right there. Are there any signs the Lord is showing us today that we need to believe? God, help us to have a heart of belief, to be able to say, I believe. Atheists today say, I do not believe. I think we have a growing number of atheists. I don't believe. How many signs do you need? Go out in the country at night and look up into the heavens. You see the stars? Do you see the sunsets? Do you see the beauty and amazing characteristics of nature? How many signs do you need? What about life itself? An amazing thing. And yet, they say, I do not believe. I want to tell you today, I believe. I believe in a God that created this heaven and earth. I believe in a God that created life and created you and created me. I believe in the words that he spoke. I believe in his Son that came to this earth as a sacrifice for our sins. I believe his words are true and that someday I will face him at the judgment. I believe that even though the world is going a different way, there is still a right way that is free from sin. I believe that even though the laws are headed a different direction, there is still a God in heaven, and his laws supersede all of that. I believe that God is able to help us to live victorious in this life, free from sin. I still believe today. Jesus rose again, and he appeared to his disciples. Let's turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. the doors being shut. You notice that? Doors were shut, and Jesus appeared and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Now, why is it that some people believe so easily and others don't? There are differences in personalities. Some of us are skeptics. Some of us are more gullible than others. There are differences in personalities. But I believe the Lord looked into the heart of Thomas and saw something. And he was willing to work with Thomas until he could come to a point that he fully believed. I believe the Lord is willing to work with each one of us in that same way. My Lord and my God. I believe the real difference in those who rejected Christ, sign after sign after sign, and those who accepted them was a condition of heart. Yes. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, believing or not believing doesn't sound that significant, really, does it? But it is. Unbelief is connected with an evil heart. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. Mark 9 and 17, one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How badly do you think the father wanted this child delivered from this condition? This spirit throws him into the fire. Lord, if there's anything you can do, do it. Well, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you believe? And I want to ask you the same question this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe that all things are possible to him that believeth? Whatever the obstacle is between you and heaven, between you and your brother, whatever the problem of life is, do you believe that all things are possible to him that believeth? And I'm going to say, in the power of God. Do you believe it this morning? And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. See, the Lord looks into the heart of the petitioner, and he sees faith, he sees belief, but he sees there's some room for growth, and the Lord has mercy. And he helps us in those areas of unbelief to be able to believe all the way. The difference is the condition of heart. There is a great blessing that comes from believing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that those who are believers have lives that are blessed and fulfilled? Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This scripture was translated from Hebrew, and when it was translated from Hebrew into Aramaic, which is called the Targum, instead of saying, shall not make haste, it said, shall not be moved when trouble comes. So let me read that scripture one more time. Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be moved when trouble comes. There's a blessing for those that believe. Just as Jesus told Thomas, blessed are they which have not seen yet believe. That includes us, doesn't it? There's a special blessing on us. We weren't there to see Jesus in person. We didn't hear the voice from heaven saying, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased, and believe because of that. We didn't believe because we saw Lazarus dead and we saw him rise again. That's not why we believe. There is a special blessing for us if we believe without having seen all of that. Do you believe this morning? John chapter 6 and verse 35. John 6 and 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Has this world left you thirsty and hungry? Is there something unsatisfied in your heart? He that believes and comes to me is going to have those longings for completeness in life, for happiness in life, fulfilled. I'm not saying longings for sinful pleasures or longings for wealth or longings for revenge. I'm saying longings for a complete happy life. That emptiness that sin leaves in your heart is going to be removed for he that believeth and comes to me. Verse 47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Is there anything more valuable than everlasting life? What about the biggest diamond in the world? What about the praise of men? What about a position high up in a very powerful company? How about the office of the presidency of the United States? None of those things even compare to the value of eternal life. Who's eternal life for? Him that believeth. Do you believe this morning? Chapter 7 of John. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. His life will not be like a desert. There will be an abundance. There will be an outflowing. There will be joy and peace and all the fruits of the Spirit flowing out of his heart and life. To him that believeth on me. Believing works miracles. Yes. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. What was the difference? The Hebrews had faith. And the Egyptians didn't? I believe so. I believe that is the difference in life. Why people are destroyed and some have such blessed lives. The difference is belief or unbelief. Look, the God of the Nile isn't going to help you cross in the Red Sea. The frogs, all those gods you've been serving, the sun god, where is he now when you've got to cross the Red Sea? You know, there's a Red Sea to be crossed. Life has its calamities. There is a blessing to him that believes. By faith, they got through that sea. And by faith, you and I can do it as well. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. It wasn't by superior artillery or by the best engineers the army could afford. It was by faith, by believing. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What do you want in life? What do you want? Any battle. By faith in God, you can be victorious. Yes. Are there mouths of lions to stop? Are there kingdoms to subdue? Is there the face of death to go and conquer? I believe in God, and I'm going to stay on his side. Verse 34, quench the violence of the fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, the armies that overwhelmed them, way outnumbered, outgunned, professional men of war, vicious men, unmerciful, and here's this band full of God's chosen men who believed that through faith overcame those armies. What armies are coming against you in life? Is it an addiction? Is it hatred? Is it greed? What is the army that is coming against you? By faith, we can overcome those things. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Why did they do that? Why were they unwilling to accept deliverance in this life so that they could obtain a resurrection? Because they believed in a resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. But they believed in something, and we can believe in the same thing today. There's a blessing that comes with believing, and there is a curse that comes with not believing. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans chapter 10. My question for you is, do you believe? I believe the gospel is clear. I believe God has been faithful to speak to every heart. Do you believe the gospel that has been preached? Do you believe the convictions that God has put on your heart? The dealing of the Holy Spirit. You know what you did was wrong. What you just said was wrong. Do you believe those dealings of the Holy Spirit? Romans 10 and verse 9. This is some very important scripture. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, notice where it happens. It was a condition of the heart that caused those people to continue to mock Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. It was a condition of the heart that caused them to encircle Jesus and question him, why did you heal that man on a Sabbath day? And Jesus looked around in anger because of what? The hardness of their heart. They didn't believe because their hearts were hard. That's why people aren't believing today. That's why people aren't responding to the gospel, because their hearts are hard. For with the heart, I want to appeal to your heart today. From the heart, from the very seat of your affections, from who you really are, I want to appeal to you, believe in Jesus Christ. To the point that you obey his teachings, to the point that you're willing to forsake the world and follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I appeal to your heart today. Turn your heart to God. Believe in him, because it's all about that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no other way to be saved than to believe. I am touched by a song that says, I am coming to Jesus for rest. Rest such as the purified know. That's a good decision. I'm glad I made that decision. That I decided, okay, I'm coming. My soul is athirst to be blessed. Do you know what that feels like? Are you tired of going through life without blessings? Are you tired of the emptiness that this world leaves you? When you sought after the things that this world has to offer, and you've tried to fill your heart and your mind and your soul with it, and you find out you're still thirsty. My soul is athirst to be blessed, to be washed and made whiter than snow. And listen to this chorus. I believe Jesus saves. And his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves. And his blood washes whiter than snow. You know, it's real simple. You don't have to go through a whole lot. You have to believe on Jesus. That his word is true. That you really have to do something. That the signs that are so evident through the Word of God, through the preaching of God, through the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, that they really are true. You have to believe that. And then you have to be willing to come to Jesus for rest. Maybe we could stand and sing that song, I believe, 461.